We're the home of Big Z Sports, 99.9 WTUZ. Good evening and welcome to the Big Z Sports Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. We'll take a closer look at some of our local schools and what they do in their communities. Our program is brought to you by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. Now let's join the crew from Big Z Sports.
Big Z Sports on Z Country, 99.9, Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy, the Extra Point, presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance. Guys, we are into week 11 of the high school football season. That's right, playoffs are upon us. We are here tonight to talk a little bit about week 10, which was last Friday night. A lot of good games last week in week 10. And we're also here to talk about this week's playoff teams, which would be New Philadelphia and Indian Valley. New Philadelphia will travel to Columbus to take on Bishop Hartley, the defending Division IV state football champions. And Indian Valley
will be two-time.
Yep, and Indian Valley will be at home at Kelly Field to take on the Meadowbrook Colts on Friday at 7:30. Big Z Sports will have that game covered for you, play-by-play action, presented by TMK Valley Propane. Guys, that's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get into those two games, let's talk a little bit about Week 10 and we had a fun game on Thursday, a very fun game on Friday, four overtimes. Chris, I know it didn't turn out the way you wanted it, but let's recap Week 10 a little bit, Eric, and let's go over the schedule and kind of talk about those games a little bit.
Well, you mentioned a Thursday night, how rivalry week kicked off. It was Indian Valley taking on Claymont. The Braves were at home. Of course, we were there, gentlemen, with live play-by-play coverage of that game. Indian Valley got out to that hot start. Of course, we'll dive in more to this game later on when we talk with head coach Matt Lancaster later on in this program. But the Braves got off to that hot start, 18-0 before really you could blink. Right before the half, Claymont had a chance to get on the board again and cut it to a one-possession game. They could not do that. But then in the third quarter, gentlemen, is when that game, it all changed, Chris.
Yes, it did. It changed very quickly with a lot of different things, special teams and all kinds of stuff. You know, Indian Valley muffing a pump and punt inside their own five-yard line. That turned into a recovered fumble in the end zone. And then Marcus Vermillion takes a 90-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And all of a sudden, it was like, wow, Claymont's leading.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, were they leading at that point? I don't know if they were after their Vermillion score or not.
I think it was after the Vermillion score.
I thought it was the Dakota Bunning screen that gave him the lead.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't remember exactly, but I know Dakota Bunning had a nice game. You know, he had a 64-yard TD catch. Hunter Hershberger with a 13-yard TD run. And Hunter Hershberger was one of those players that didn't know that he was going to play, or we didn't know that he was going to play until the time of the game. Taryn Harris, a good game, 4-8, 155 yards to two touchdowns. And then Xavier Grant, the 77-yard TD catch on a...
Yeah, the hook and ladder. That's actually where they took their lead, gentlemen.
Harris back to pass.
Oh,
and it's
hook
the ladder.
Hook and ladder.
Xavier Grant.
See ya. He ain't catching him.
He's got some space out on the far sideline. He's gone.
Goodbye.
Joe. That's a touchdown. My goodness. 77 yards.
Yeah, that hook and ladder play right there. And then, of course, we all know it came down to the final drive for Indian Valley, and they were saved on that drive. It was a fourth and long, I know, for them, and they threw a pass over the middle. It fell incomplete, but Joe, a huge penalty on that drive. Kept the drive alive for the Braves.
Yeah, like you mentioned, fourth down and goal, and slips through the receiver's hands, and unfortunately the quarterback was hit a little bit late. They called a roughing the passer, which gave Indian Valley a first down and more chances to get into the end zone, so to speak. And they took advantage of those. And a couple clock issues towards the end of the game as well. But Indian Valley ended up with that big touchdown at the end.
There was some confusion at the end and some controversy, too, with some folks thinking, hey, how could it only take 2 seconds for a pass play late in that game? Regardless, there were 4 seconds left. Indian Valley attempted a pass. It fell in the end zone, incomplete. It was a quick slant, sort of... over to the left side, the far side of the field. And then after that, there were just 2 seconds remaining in that game. And, hey, we all know what happened after that.
We'll see what they decide to do here. This is the last play of the game, barring a penalty. Two receivers here to the near side. I formation. Cade Williams under center. Hostetler, the deep back. Williams, play action fake. Back to pass. Rolls out here to the near side. Fires.
Got it. It's going to be caught.
for a touchdown. Indian Valley wins the football game.
Are
touchdown number 10,
Jarrett Swinderman.
With the game-winning touchdown catch.
Oh, my goodness.
With no time left on the clock.
Are you kidding me?
No time remaining. And with that, the Indian Valley Braves will have their first ever undefeated season. It's a mob scene down there in the end zone.
Yeah, what a scene. There at Kelly Field in Midvale Thursday night.
Yeah, and regardless of the controversy, I mean, I think it's time to put that controversy to bed, in my opinion. There's been a lot of people. I'll just put it this way. A close friend of the show watched that play on video numerous times from the end zone.
We all have.
In that quick slant, the most that he had was like 3.1 or 3.4 seconds. Now, everybody knows that even with a clock that doesn't show the tenth of a second, it still counts by a tenth of a second.
Sure.
Okay? So if the clock was stopped with 4.8 left, and the guy hit the clock and it started, and he stopped it with after 3.1 or 3.4 seconds, there's still going to be a second on the clock.
Sure.
So bottom line is let's just throw the controversy away. The game's over. It's been a week now. Unfortunately, somebody had to lose that game.
Not a week yet.
Well, almost. But, you know, unfortunately, somebody had to lose that game. But the bottom line is both communities and both teams and both schools should be proud of their kids, proud of their communities, of the sportsmanship that everybody showed at the game. There was no problems, no issues, rushing the field.
You count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three. It's pretty close. I mean, we all know that. It was a close
but
call.
The bottom line is you know, you could have had 7 seconds left if Caden Hostetler would have been called out of bounds like he was. So it is what it is. The calls go opposite ways all the time. Ebb and flow of the game. Everybody can sit there and say, hey, calls went against me or calls went for me. It is what it is. Let's just move on. And the bottom line is Indian Valley's moving on because of 398 yards on 54 carries. That's why they move on.
Yeah, also the man of the game, our player of the game offensively was Caden Hostetler. 30 carries, Joe. 159 yards, and count them five touchdowns.
Something interesting before that game, I talked to Coach Lancaster in our pregame interview last week, and he said very easily Caden could break his record for most carries in a game, which is 33, I believe, which was in the Manchester
35,
game.
I believe.
35.
It was, yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, my goal was to get Caden more carries than that. In that game last week, well, he had 30, so he was daggone close.
Yes, he was. Yeah. And, you know, I think the difference is Indian Valley was able to rush the ball, and Claymont was not. Claymont had 134 yards on 37 carries. That's a 3.6 average. And Indian Valley had a 7.4 average with those 398, like I just mentioned. Of course, a lot of seniors on that Claymont team. Hershberger, Bunning, Harris, Xavier Grant.
And I think Grant, probably not to cut you off, I think that's someone who maybe was the best player on the field for both teams.
Correct.
Probably could have seen the ball a lot more that night.
I agree with you 1,000,000%. And I think that we've been saying that a lot throughout the season. Man, this kid's got, you know, 282 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he only touched the ball 12 times.
That was going back to the Ridgewood game.
Yeah,
there.
And it just very frustrating from our standpoint, too. But, you know, Claymont, they're going to have to find a lot of these juniors and sophomores step up because they were a very senior-laden team. And of course, you know, Tyler Farrell is a junior, one of those kids that's going to have to step up. And he was our defensive player of the game. And he was all over the place. Had an incredible
there
game.
There was a portion there in the third quarter where he made 3 consecutive plays after Claymont, I think, had already scored, and then he, you know, kept that momentum going for him, got him the ball back, and they were able to score again.
Well, you remember he had the hit on the quarterback, he tipped the ball, and he almost picked it off on the same play.
We call that a hat trick.
Yeah, it was almost a hat trick. So, but Tyler's going to be one of those kids that's going to have to step up next year because losing a lot of senior leaders on this team, and in Indian Valley, they're headed to the playoffs, and they just reloaded last year. So
question for both of you. Cade Williams, quarterback for Indian Valley last week, attempted 18 passes, 7 of 18, 82 yards. Of course, the game-winning touchdown to Jarrett Swinderman with no time left on the clock. You think that's a little more times that Coach Lancaster wants to throw the ball out there, 7 of 18?
Yeah,
bunch of incompletions there.
Yeah, I think that's as many as he wants, more than what he wants to throw. And the reason why is because that last drive, how many of those 18 passes did they have? Probably 7 or 8 of those 18 passes on that last drive, because they didn't have time to rush the ball down the field with 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, and he made some big throws, did Williams, on the last drive. None bigger than the last one of the game. So, yeah, it was a win, and you were in situation for Claymont. The Indian Valley Braves just made one more play than the Mustangs could, and they pulled it out 45-42. Wow, we haven't even talked about this game yet. The big four overtime thriller on Friday night between New Philadelphia and Dover. The 114th meeting between these two teams did not disappoint. Last year it went to overtime. This year, four overtimes. New Philly, 45. Dover, 38. Should we start with Chris, since he's the Dover honk, I guess?
Well, I mean, an incredible game by both teams. Bottom line, another instant classic in Dover-Philly history. You could say the same thing about the Massa-McKinley game on Saturday. Just an incredible...
That was a one-point game.
Yeah, I mean, just an incredible game. I mean, these rivalry games this year on Thursday, Friday, Saturday have been incredible. And, you know, Dover did a nice job. I thought they got Dre Hess loose, but he was dinged up a little bit. 16 catches, 136 yards, had two touchdowns. He was my hats off award winner. He even threw a pass, guys, a 49-yarder. So Ethan Snyder, 10 catches, 112 yards. But listen to this. Alex Sayre, 43 of 57, 367, and two touchdowns. The Tornadoes only rushed the ball for 15 total yards. That is... not going
to
get it done.
Alex Sayre, the key really to Dover's season next year. But back to this game on Friday night. Guys, with 9.5 left to go in the game, it was New Philly 17 and Dover 14. And you heard the final 45-38. It's just mind-boggling. 17-17 going into overtime. You read some of the outstanding performances there for Dover. Joe, how about Sam Zemus, though? 7 catches, 125 yards. 5 touchdowns, including he just went off in overtime, Joe.
Yeah, he did. A touchdown in every overtime for New Philadelphia. And what about the sophomore?
Three. Except for the last one.
Okay, my bad. And then what about the sophomore connection, Baron May and Sam Zemus? That the future is bright right now for New Philadelphia, and we're going to talk to Coach Dennison about that coming up a little later on in the show. But Baron May, Sam Zemus, the sophomores, of course, the new addition to the team was it Tavon Anderson, I think
yes,
it was his
Tavon
name.
Anderson.
I mean, that is somebody that is a welcome sight and another weapon for Baron
May. And another sophomore.
Which nobody knows really anything about right now.
Well, he made himself very well known in his first game. You know, he had a couple sacks and a couple disruptions. So, very very good first game for him. And of course, the senior Kai Crothers, Eric. I mean, another huge game out of him.
Yeah, the game winner, that touchdown in the fourth overtime. Also, 24 carries and 127 yards. But guys, we all know New Philly. Like you said, Joe, we'll talk about this game later. They have their work cut out for them this week, taking on Columbus Bishop Hartley in the first round of the playoffs. Another thing, Dover, I don't know if you mentioned this yet or not, they put up 431 total yards
They actually outgained
in that
them.
Game. Yeah, they outgained New Philadelphia. I tell you what, that Quaker defense, they can't give up that many yards next week.
No, and of course, Sam Zemus was our, I don't know, I don't think we did mention it,
oh, no,
but
go
he
ahead,
was our Harrison Auto Parts Player of the Week in week number 10. With those numbers, I mean, incredible.
It's kind of hard. I mean, who else are you going to go
with? 7 catches, right? 125 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 3 of them in overtime.
Yeah. Well, okay? It would have been tough if the Indian Valley Claymont game would have been Friday pick between Hostetler and Zemus.
Are we glad? I'm glad we didn't have
to do that.
Yeah. Well, and think about if Dover wins that game, then where do you go? Do you go to Alex Sayre, who had... would have had close to 400 yards passing. I mean,
well, you went with his compadre Hess for your hats
Hess.
Off, and, so and you didn't go with Sayre.
The reason why I went with Hess is because the kid's injury. Coming back from injury. He's a senior. I think Alex Sayre should be one of those guys that maybe will be looked at as our player of the year, possibly going into next year.
Some other finals from Friday, week number 10, the final week of the regular season. Joe, how about the Garraway Pirates defense getting a shutout in week number 10, defeating Tuskegee Valley 35-0.
Happy to see Garraway go out 5-5 on the season. They started off, obviously, we've mentioned it many, many times. There are a few plays from being 9-1 or 8-2 and in the playoffs, you know, and they played a couple teams very close, a couple teams they probably could have beat. Danville, Claymont, Indian Valley, the three teams that I'm thinking. Ridgewood got beat on the last second field goal. So, you know what? Garraway has a future, a bright future. Their defense looked really well, really good on Friday night, and Coach Wallach has a lot to look forward to next year.
Yes, he does. Very reminiscent to Indian Valley last year, to what they could be this year. Of course, Garaway had 149 yards on 31 carries, 258 passing yards. They held Tuskegee Valley to 74 yards on 30 carries and only 17 passing yards. Wow, incredible. Dawson Lay with two TD passes on 17 of 24, 180 yards. Brady Winters with a couple of touchdown runs.
Ridgewood over Newcomerstown, 56-7. The Trojans 0-10. Ridgewood 7-3 overall, 3-2 in the IVC. Joe mentioned Garaway being a play or two away from having their season be over 500. Ridgewood, really, a play away from a playoff berth.
Yeah, absolutely. They were only a play away from a playoff berth, and your hats off award went to Zach Wright in that game. He broke the school record for receiving in that game. Colton Alexander holds the school records for passing, and he had five touchdowns. Zach Wright had two TD catches, two picks on defense, and Jason Stubbs with a couple of touchdown runs. Isaiah Lamnick won as well.
So. Joe, wasn't Malvern in a win and they were in situation?
They were.
They got blasted by Sandy Valley, the final 51-30.
Good win for the Cardinals. Happy for them to get off the, you know, they were kind of in a losing streak, kind of spinning out of control a little bit, but Coach Gamble got those seniors together, came out and played spoiler against Malvern. What a huge win for them in their program. You know, you think,
They finished 3-2 in the IVC.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah, four and six on the season. Yeah, 4-6 on the season and 3-2 in the league. And it just shows you they're not. Conference was tough. Fairless ended up being a playoff team they played, so it was a good schedule for them. I think they learned a lot, but I also think their freshman quarterback Cameron Blair, pretty special, and it's going to be fun to watch the next few years.
Yeah, future's bright there in Sandy Valley. East Canton over Buckeye Trail, 51-19. Also, Lucas beat Conotton Valley, 54-3. West Holmes, they got beat by 20. Mount Vernon, 41. West Holmes, 21.
Yeah, they are. West Holmes finishes at 3-7. They actually led 7-6 after the first quarter in that game. Braden Cheney, 12 catches, 188 yards, two touchdowns, two punt returns for 70 yards. Bridger Klein sets the school record in passing touchdowns and also yards in a season. He had 365 yards, did throw two picks. Gavin Sheldon, three catches, 75 yards. For the Knights, who are rebuilding in a good first year for head coach Zach Gardner.
I mean, I think that's a great year for Coach Gardner, and he probably
Beat Ashland.
Yeah, almost beat Ashland. Probably should have, and hats off for him going for two to win that game and fell a little short. But you know what? It's really neat and really cool to say that West Holmes is throwing the ball around the field a little bit. Over the last 3 or 4 years, they've been a punch it up the middle and 3 yards in a cloud of dust, so to speak. So,
and a lot of juniors, too,
sure.
Joe. They have
a huge freshman class coming up, about 30 to 35 kids added to that varsity program next year. And, of course, their eighth graders won the league. So we'll see an influx of talent, so to speak, at West Holmes.
Another overtime game on Friday. Carrollton beat Minerva 32-26. You guys mentioned Fairless a moment ago. Their first 8-win regular season since 1985, the year I was born. Just thought I'd throw that in there. They beat Tuslaw 35-20. And Saturday, and there's really something else to piggyback off of this game, Strasburg, they beat TCC 40-12. But the story, guys, last night, which we broke on our social media page, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook and on Twitter as well, @big_Z Sports, was the shocking move that the head coach of the Saints, Joe, stepped down.
Yeah, Casey Cummings announced his resignation last night. Well, turned it in, I should say. Talked to him via text last night, and he said it was true. He had just... you know, he didn't really give a reason why, but I think the toll of the last 6 years of, you know, battling through all these games and, you know, the talent factor, the injury factor, I think the wear and tear of the season took a toll on him. But you know what? Did a great job at TCC, one of our shows, one of our favorites. You know, Casey always came on, win or lose, and always a great contributor to our program. And hopefully we can contain that or retain that relationship with him as he moves on.
You still need to get him on our wrap-up show for the year, see what his
future. I will do that, don't worry.
Oh, but did I get the final wrong? Was it 40-14 on Saturday, right? Is that what you're trying to
say? Yes, 40-14.
Your thoughts on Coach Cummings?
I just think that it's, just like I said in the write-up last night, you know, I just want to thank him for all of his contributions to the Big Z Sports Show over the last 3 years that we've been here. He's always more than willing to come on and talk, whether they win or lose. He's very insightful. thoughtful, very matter of frank.
Oh yeah.
If it's on his mind and he's thinking it, probably going to tell you.
And if you're wrong, he'll tell you.
Yes.
Because he told me that week one, because I said that they were on the road, and he said, right. "Well, come out to Artiner Field and watch us play." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry, coach."
Yeah. Art, Ed's brother, right?
Ed's brother, yes.
Right.
Yes.
But Casey leaves TCC with a record of 28-33 over his six seasons, including one playoff berth. Again, those numbers, however, are a little deceiving, as TCC doesn't have the amount of kids that the other schools do in this area. And they're fortunate if they have 19, 20 kids on their roster to start the year. And Cummings is one of those coaches who gets every ounce out of his players and has a knack for putting them in the proper positions. And I forgot that they had a couple wins taken away that cost them a playoff berth a couple of years ago. And technically, as Cade told me, as his son, that he was actually 31-33 if those wins wouldn't have been taken away.
And if you remember, over the last few years, it had been the Green Beamer offense. You know, it was a lot of fun to talk about it. But, I mean, he had the talent go through TCC, Dean Green and Bo Beamer, Nick Schiretti, and just other kids as well. I'm probably forgetting some. But, you know, it was a lot of fun to talk to Coach Cummings. And, you know, we wish him nothing but the best. And if something pops up, of course, Big Z Sports will keep you updated on Coach Cummings. If he gets back in the coaching seat again, before next season, we'll let you know of that as well. But
I don't think he'll be out long. If somebody wants, if he wants to come back, somebody will snag him up.
Great job by Chris on the beat last night, so to speak.
Thanks to Cade for posting it.
as yours truly was snoozing a little bit over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I found the picture. Chris did the write up, and we posted it, and so it was.
That's
it was
what good. We call teamwork here in Z Country and Big Z Sports Land. Hey, I mentioned Facebook and Twitter earlier. Follow us, like us. WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook and Twitter. It's @big_Z Sports. Also, we're streaming all the time online, WTUZ.com, and our Weaver Appliance text line. Joe, if folks want to get a question into the coaches, they can do so, 330-339-9399, the coaches that we do have coming up.
Yep, coming up next segment, we're going to talk to Matt Lancaster, head football coach of the Indian Valley Braves.
It's hard. Two Matts, I know, it's tough.
Well, the funny thing is, I think I told the story before. When I first came into the area, I actually called Matt Dennis and Matt Lancaster.
I get them confused all the time.
I felt
How can you get them confused? They look totally different.
Just the names. It's the I Matts. Just get them. Okay. The yeah. Matt.
I was going to say, if you look at them side by side, they don't look anything alike.
No, if they're standing side by side.
Matt and Matt.
Anyways.
Matt Lancaster coming up next after this timeout here on Z Country 99.9.
You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Welcome back into the Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. Again, we're recapping week 10 and going over now of week 11 of the high school football season. We have two area teams remaining in the playoffs. And actually, week 11 or week one of the high school football playoffs. Obviously, teams get home games this week. And we're happy to welcome in one of those teams that get a home game this week. They'll be at Kelly Field on Friday night to take on the Meadowbrook Colts. Yes, we will. Happy to welcome in Indian Valley head football coach Matt Lancaster. Coach, welcome to the show again. Congratulations on your playoff berth and your big win last week.
Thanks, guys. Good to be on the show.
Coach, talk to us a little bit. Let's rewind almost a week. I know you probably put the game in your archive, but let's talk a little bit about that Claymont game. What a crazy game. We talked beforehand and how we thought, you know, it's going to be a slugfest, and that's what it really turned out to be, was a slugfest all the way down to the last play of the game.
Yeah, as I said after the game, I still, believe it was one of the best, most exciting games I've been a part of as a coach or even as a player. Both teams just battled, kept fighting back. I thought we had them on the ropes, early, and then thought we had them on the ropes in the fourth quarter to put them away, and they kept fighting back. The kids played, very hard. They had some great play calls, and they caught us with 2 minutes left with the hook and ladder to go ahead, and then we were on the ropes, and our kids battled back. It was a great high school football game. I'm sure the fans got their money's worth.
Coach, when I interviewed you on the field after that last play, the emotions were running high, tears in your eyes, players all hugging you, coaches hugging you. I know you've been to the playoffs and had playoff wins before, but was that the most emotional win you've had in your 11-year career?
Probably. We've been looking forward to playing them for a while, and both teams knew that game was looming at the end of the year, and we was hoping it'd end up being, with as much at stake as there was. So it was already a big game, but to win in a dramatic fashion, like that, definitely was the icing on the cake, and definitely an emotional victory. It's right up there, a couple games probably compared to it in gravity, and they'd be playoff victories. But it's definitely up there.
Hey, Coach, explain what happened in the third quarter. That's really when Claymont took over momentum and kind of took over the football game. What was going wrong for your team there? I know they lost a couple field position battles that kind of led to that fumble in the end zone. But what else went wrong for your team there in the third?
Yeah, we just had some breakdowns, And Claymont, I believe that they're a playoff quality opponent, and they made some good plays. And we got kind of bogged down with field position, our backs against the wall, and tried to make a great play out of what started from a bad play already, and ended up fumbling in the end zone. That was one of them. Then we had a special teams mistake that we tried to field a punt inside the 5-yard line that and then ended up with another turnover there. It definitely gave them a lot of momentum and let them get find their way back into the game.
And Coach, I want to get your take on the last few sequences there in the fourth quarter. There was about 4 seconds left. Your quarterback threw a pass in the end zone. It fell incomplete. 2 seconds ran off the clock. After that play, did you think the game was over?
We called that play just because we wanted to try and get two chances. I mean, we thought that play was going to be open, and it was. We just missed them. That was the intent of it. It was to get try and squeeze two plays into that amount of time. Before that, I'm not going to get into the controversy of it or anything like that. The game is what it was. We were trying to call a timeout with 8 seconds left and didn't get it. So, it is what it is. Both teams fought hard. Both teams played their tails off in a great rivalry game.
And then are you saying to yourself, last play of the game, as Cade Williams rolls to your sideline, you're saying, throw it, throw it, throw it, and then you finally gets rid of it, and it's the game winner. I mean, and then just pandemonium after that, Coach.
Yeah, it was an exciting finish, and Cade made a great play to kind of elongate the play a little bit and let Swinderman get open. Swinderman attacked the ball, and you could tell that he really wanted it and, made a great play, kept it in bounds, and we were excited after that for sure.
Coach, in your 11 years of a head coach at Indian Valley, your teams have been through a lot of adversity. Your team faced a lot of adversity last Thursday night. What do you say to your team in a huddle when they're facing adversity to keep them going, to keep them playing Indian Valley football?
With this group, I haven't had to say a whole lot. They kind of do it themselves. And they don't say a whole lot. They just keep playing. And I was proud of the way they overcame adversity. And we've done that a couple times this season. Our backs were against the wall, and our backs were especially against the wall last Thursday night. Our kids weren't, their heads weren't down. They were, hey, we're still going to win this game. And I didn't have to do anything to get them to that point. That's just the mentality of, this group of guys, and that's a lot to their credit.
Well, Coach, moving on to the playoffs now, week number 11. You guys are the number 3 seed in Division 4, Region 15. Obviously, at 10-0, your first undefeated season in school history, which is incredible. You guys will take on Meadowbrook, who is the 6th seed in D4 Region 15. They're 8-2, head coached by Jeff Twitty. Their last playoff appearance was 2015. They lost to Johnstown Monroe, and this was only their second playoff appearance. They're a very good team. They like to throw it. They score 39, almost 39 and a half points per game. Your take first and foremost on the Meadowbrook Colts.
Well, their record speaks for itself. They're a very good football team. They played quality competition. Four of the teams on their schedule have been playoff teams, and they've beat two of them. So they can compete with anybody, Offensively, like you said, very explosive, a lot to prepare for. They're about 50-50, run to pass, which makes it even more difficult. You can't key on one or the other. They're pretty balanced, and they got a number of different playmakers. And they run a lot of different plays as well, including a lot of, trick plays and things like that that you have to put the time into practice and make sure your kids have seen them and make sure that you're prepared for it. So You know, they're a very good football team. The kids play hard. We believe they got one of the best linebackers that we've seen all year as well on defense. So their offense, is very explosive. Their defense is solid also.
Hey, Coach, their quarterback, junior Davis Black, maybe one of the more talented quarterbacks, at least with his arm, that you guys have seen all year.
Yeah, and the kid can swing it. We saw him throw on the run 55 yards, but throwing against his body. So he can definitely make plays. They've got a real good sophomore running back, a couple other running backs, and a real good receiver in number 10. And, the quarterback does a great job of running their offense.
Coach, your defense is going to have their hands full this coming Friday night. Talk to us a little bit about what your defense is going to have to do to try to stop the Meadowbrook Colts from getting into the end zone and really kind of moving the ball.
Yeah, anytime, and it's been kind of our motto all year, but anytime you're playing a high explosive offense like this, you really want to limit the big plays. So, we've been preaching bend, don't break to our kids and, don't give up the big play. Make them drive the length of the field. Make them do it beat us in a number of different ways. Be assignment sound. Read our keys. All the things we've been doing all year. We don't have to overplay. And then we're going to start losing what got us to this point. So do what we do and make them drive the length of the field. Hopefully our defense will come away with some turnovers as we have throughout the year.
Coach, final question here. Obviously, we'll let you get back to your evening and preparing for Meadowbrook. But besides your defense, what are your keys for India Valley to move on to the next round of the playoffs?
Well, I think, one of the things I talked to the kids first off on Monday when we moved on was the danger of an emotional, the week after an emotional victory over a rival like that, having a letdown week, not living on it and continuing to celebrate that. So we made sure that we put that, put that away and move on so we can focus and go 1-0 this week and prepare the same way we have without continuing to live on, kind of a high. So that's a big thing. But I think just, playing within ourselves and doing what's gotten us here, executing offensively, establishing a physical power running game, and playing sound defense.
Well, Coach, we wish you nothing but the best of luck on Friday night. Big Z Sports, again, will be on the scene and at Kelly Field in Midvale to call the game play-by-play on 99.9. We look forward to calling your game again this week. We look forward to the game and seeing you on Friday night.
That sounds great, guys. I'll talk to you before the game.
Yep, that's Matt Lancaster, head football coach of the Indian Valley Braves, joining us here on the Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance. And we'll be back after this timeout and talk a little New Philadelphia Quaker football with head football coach Matt Dennison. That's after this on Z Country 99.9.
Now back to Big Z Sports on 99.9.
Back to the Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We're breaking down week 11 of the high school football playoffs. The two teams left in our area, the Indian Valley Braves, they host Meadowbrook on Friday night, and now we're going to talk a little New Philadelphia Quaker football with their head coach Matt Dennison. Coach, congratulations on making it to the playoffs yet again this year, and a big win last week against Dover, four overtimes. That's like that just takes all the energy out of you, doesn't it, after four overtimes in a game, in a rivalry game like that?
Yeah, absolutely. It takes it out of you. Well, Saturday we were some tired guys, and yeah, I told our kids to enjoy an extra day on Sunday, and but then Monday we had to get back at it, get back to work. That's the one thing about winning a big game. There's always another one.
Coach, is that other than the three overtime win a few years ago? Is that the most emotional win you've had against Dover?
You know what? Yeah, I mean that was a big one. It was special because just the way our kids were resilient and fought. But we've had a couple. We've had some doozies. In 04, the 100th game, it didn't get a whole lot better than that game because that was the 100th meeting between the two teams, and it went to overtime, and that was a pretty special game. And we went 10-0 off of that game, so that was a pretty good game. But this one was right there. It was one that we'll always remember.
Coach, we have talked to you many, many times this season throughout the year after games, and we've talked to you about your sophomore quarterback, Baron May. Another huge performance from him, but a huge performance for your sophomore wide receiver, Sam Zemus. They hook up five different times in that game against Dover. How special was that sophomore connection of Zemus and May?
Something we were excited about this year, that we thought we had some really good skill, but we were scared to death because a lot of that skill was sophomores. You know, we started many games with nine of the 22 positions being as sophomores and freshmen, and that bodes well for our future. But a big testament was our senior class with that. But you know, that little connection that those two have is those two are very, very comfortable with one another, and they work very well together, and they always have, and they're best of buddies, which makes it even funnier and neater. But you know, one of the things you worry about going in with the young guys is, all right, can these guys sustain? You know, and they did, and having those two come together and match up like that, and it was great. But like I said, sophomores—that's what scared us coming into the season, having that many sophomores, because. My old high school coach used to tell me when I got into this, he said, for every sophomore you start, you're going to lose a game. And when I looked at, we had nine, I was like, uh-oh, this might not be a good year, but we turned the tables on that one.
Hey, Coach, are you worried about a hangover at all after that huge, obviously, rivalry game victory, four overtimes, 45-38 over Dover? You worried about any sort of hangover this week in the first round of the playoffs?
No, not really. We've had that before. We took care of that on Monday. we knew it was time to get down to business. We got after it pretty hard on Monday. And we've had great practices this week. Tuesday and tonight's practice were spectacular. I thought our kids are focused. You know, I think last year with the taste we got last year, there's something about playoff football, and our kids are hooked on it right now. And so I think we were able to recover pretty well from it.
Coach, you mentioned what you guys got a taste of last year. Obviously, that playoff experience can only help you guys going into this game this year.
Absolutely. You know, they're a team. They're two-time defending state champions. They're there every year. But they, you know, but the fact that we have the playoff experience also really helps us out.
Coach, you know, this year's opponent in the first round of the playoffs is a three seed, the two-time defending Division IV state champion, the Bishop Hartley Hawks. They have knocked off Steubenville the last couple of years. The road this week is you got your hands full a little bit with the Hawks down in Columbus. Your thoughts on Bishop Hartley?
Well, they're a talented parochial school. You can take that for what it's worth, but they get the guys to fit their program each and every year. You know, they're a relatively young group. They graduated 17 or 18 of their 22 starters from last year. But they are a no-nonsense team. I like the way they play. They rely entirely on their line, offensive line. They go foot-to-foot splits, and they just come downhill and they run the ball. They throw the ball 10 times in a game. It's a busy night for their quarterback. So yeah, they're going to try to control that ball from us, and we're going to have to play good, tough, solid defense, and that's what we like. We like playing a one-dimensional offense. I think that helps us a little bit, even as talented as they are.
Coach, you mentioned those kinds of schools. You're used to that kind of, though, right? Akron Hope in the past couple of years in the playoffs, so you'll be ready for them.
Yeah, you know, we went back, and over the past 3 years, we've played eight teams that played in a state championship. Over the past three years. So, you know, we're used to good competition. You know, we've competed with the best, and we've fought with the best. So we're not going to be big-eyed going into that game just because of that mere fact, and I think that's helped us out.
Well, Coach, you had mentioned their rushing attack. They had 367 yards on 33 carries last week. Looks like their big guy, Elijah Carter, the senior running back, had eight carries, 162 yards, and a three TDs. But, you know, their defense is very good as well. They only give up 12 points per game. They had two shutouts. Talk a little bit about their defense and what you've seen out of them.
Well, they're very simple. They're very simple on offense. They're very simple on defense. And most good teams are. I said that last week about Dover. it was our easiest breakdown of the year. The good teams are the easiest breakdowns of the year. Defensively, they're gonna run a three man front, a 3-3, and play man coverage with man three out of that, and then they're gonna jump into a four man front once in a while, where they pull their free safety out of the game and they play cover zero behind it. They don't blitz a whole lot. I think they've blitzed maybe 7-8 times the whole 4 or 5 games that we've seen. But they let their linebacker run. I think it's the Carter kid. It's number 30. I think it might be the Carter kid. But they let him run, and they can't make all the tackles, and they're good at it. They're very big up front, but the big guys are let their second level run.
Well, Coach, one final question. We'll let you go and let you get back to prepping for Bishop Hartley. Your final thoughts and your keys to New Philadelphia pulling off the win on Friday night.
Well, I think we're going to have to make some plays defensively. I think we're going to have they're going to drive the ball. They're content on driving the ball. We're going to have to make some big plays on first down and put them behind the chains at times and be very aggressive there. And we're going to have to step up there and contain their run a little bit and make them earn everything they get. On the other side of the ball, we're going to have to stay ahead of the chains. I like our offense is clicking right now. I think our team is clicking right now. We're peaking at the right time. But I think we're going to have to use our mix of run and pass and keep them on their heels, keep them balanced. But it's something that and then when we have our opportunities offensively, we're going to have to take care of them. Because I think we'll have some opportunities defensively.
Well, Coach, we wish you nothing but the best of luck Friday night. And Adam Sawesky will cover the game again for Big Z Sports. And we appreciate you taking time out of your busy night here Wednesday. And we will talk to you again next we'll probably talk to you Friday night after the game.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Matt Dennison, head football coach of the New Philadelphia Quakers, joining us here on the Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance. One last time out. Come back after this on Z Country.
You're with Big Z Sports on 99.9 WTUZ.
Back on the Big Z Sports Extra Point presented by Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, Joe Geckler, Chris Kale, Eric McElroy. We just chatted with New Philadelphia head football coach Matt Dennison about his team's big game in week 11 against Columbus Bishop Hartley. And they do have their hands full this week. I think it's a winnable game for the Quakers. They just got to go down and play Quaker football and, like he said, make some stops on defense and take care of the football. I mean, I think the rain is supposed to be out of the area, so to speak. I think it's going to be a chilly night, down into the low 50s, high 40s maybe. And I think Friday night football will be a lot of fun this week, except
for
Chris.
Don't be on turf, though, so I don't think it'll make that much of a difference.
Well, we'll be breaking that game down a little more. And, of course, the game that we will be at on Friday in Midvale at Kelly Field as Indian Valley takes on Meadowbrook. Remember, we're on Facebook and Twitter, WTUZ Big Z Sports on Facebook, at @Big_Z Sports on Twitter. We're always streaming. Michael Taylor, Allstate Insurance, who sponsors this show, sponsors our streaming services as well. It's a double whammy right there.
You should have clicked it twice, though.
Weaver Appliance, text line 330-339-9399. Some quick takes for you guys before we wrap things up, okay? Out of the high school sports realm. Start with you, Joseph.
All right.
Geckler. If I knew your middle name, I'd remember Chris's.
Mine's easy. Just got to remember my son's name.
Braden.
Yep. That's your middle name?
Yes.
All right. Well, here you go, Joseph Braden Geckler. The Cavaliers, they held a team meeting recently. Apparently, they're more worried about their Halloween costumes now than anything else. Are they in trouble or no?
It's too early for them to be in trouble. I think they need to start playing better, get that chemistry going, but I don't think they're in trouble yet.
Yeah, Chris. I don't think they're in trouble either. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, they're finding their way defensively. They'll still be there, Eastern Conference Finals, probably taking on your Celtics. Is that why you're wearing green in here tonight? I can't stand that green color, by the way. Hey, the college football playoff rankings, first ones of the season out last night. You guys shocked with how they shaped up? A little bit different than the Associated Press poll.
You know what? I had all the teams picked correctly in the top six, but they were a little bit out of order. But big shout out to Tim Plants. He did predict the exact order like 4 hours before the show came on. Timmy, good job on that. He's good at predicting stuff like that. But I'm not shocked on how they came out. I'm okay with where Ohio State's sitting. I think maybe Oklahoma maybe should be in front of Clemson just for the fact of losing to Syracuse. Syracuse. I know they have more top 15 wins, but I think Oklahoma has one of the best non-conference wins in the country this season, beating Ohio State when they were number two.
Real quick before Chris's take, the AP poll from 1-5 had Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Notre Dame. Then the college football playoff rankings, which came out last night, from 1-6, Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State. Chris, your take on the polls?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got it right, to be honest with you. I was a little shocked that
you didn't want Wisconsin.
Ohio State
in there?
Wasn't. No, I mean, I was just a little shocked that Ohio State wasn't in the top four.
It gives them time to get back up there. I think the committee knows they have a great chance of winning out. If the Buckeyes win out, they have a great chance of being in the top four. Problem is, a couple teams ahead of them, Notre Dame, Oklahoma. If they win out as well, then that's when you find yourself in a little conundrum. The Browns-Bengals trade that almost was, apparently from all... Yeah, I'll go ahead and do it for you. Apparently from all the reports, it was simple filing or faxing or hitting the send button of the paperwork for the Browns, and then that trade would have went through. So the Browns muffed it. I guess the Bengals got their paperwork in 5 minutes before the deadline yesterday at 3:55 p.m. Eastern, and the Browns... don't know what they were doing. Complete and utter incompetence. I said it on the morning show this morning. That front office and organization right now is just adds to everything that's gone on so far this year, Joe.
I would agree. It's a complete dumpster fire right now, to be honest. And that's saying it nicely.
Sorry, but the trade, by the way, is for Bengals backup quarterback A.J. McCarron.
And being a Bengals fan, I love that trade because we get a second and a third, and I'm like, yeah, do that. And then all of a sudden it doesn't go through.
Then it doesn't
happen.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just they need a clean house again. And mainly in the front office. They need a clean house. I got one for you guys. Are you guys, I'll start with Eric. Are you surprised there's only two area playoff teams this year?
Kind of. A couple games go this way or that way. Then we might have four playoff teams.
Unfortunately, that might be the theme over the next couple of years until they get things sorted out. Everybody in the IVC is going to beat up on each other a little bit. We'll see what happens. But Dover, Philly. Not surprised. Dover struggled a little bit. Another win there. I think they get in somewhere. Mm-hmm. But, two teams. I was hoping for four, but I'll take two this year.
By the way, I wasn't done. Chris.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. Dodgers, Astros, Game 7 tonight. World Series. Who you got?
Strohs.
I hope the Strohs, but Dodgers, they're playing at home.
I'm going Dodgers. Joe, where are we going to be Friday?
Friday night, we'll be at Kelly Field in Midvale to call the play-by-play coverage of the Indian Valley Braves and Meadowbrook Colts. Airtime 6:30, kickoff 7:30. Take note of that, people. 7:30 kickoff in the playoffs, not 7 o'clock. Get there early, though. It's going to be a live atmosphere just like it was last Thursday
night.
It's
going to be lit.
Yes, it will. And again, in New Philadelphia, we'll be at Columbus. Bishop Hartley, Adam Selweski will have that game covered for us down in Columbus. We'll have live updates from him as well. Shauna Berkey back here in the studios for us on Friday night, guys. It was a great show. Thanks again to Matt Dennis and Matt Lancaster for joining us to talk about their team's big playoff games this Friday night. We'll talk to you Friday night beginning at 6:30, live from Kelly Field in Midvale for Big Z Sports on Z Country 99.9.
The Big Z Sports Extra Point has been presented by Michael Taylor Allstate Insurance. Be listening this Friday beginning at 5:30 for Game Night with Big Z Sports. And join us next Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the Big Z Sports Extra Point. This has been a straight-up, deadly, earnest presentation of Big Z Sports.